Ready for God's word? Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for all the great things that are happening. Thank you for the joy that's in the room. Thank you for building our faith. Holy Spirit, would you speak through me? Help me get this word into the hearts of your people. And Father, make us more and more like your son, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's in your name, Lord, we pray. Everybody said together, amen and amen. We have been marching through the book of Mark. Mark is one of four gospel accounts. That's the life and the ministry of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was written by John Mark, and we've been starting to speed up as we're navigating through the book of Mark. Last week, we started Mark chapter 3, and I did a message called The Trap of Religious Christianity. You can go find that online if you want to go see it, but we kicked off Mark chapter 3, and now we're continuing this week. Mark 3, the ministry of Jesus is exploding. That's what's happening in Mark 3. Everywhere Jesus goes, people start showing up. Crowds start gathering. Miracles are increasing. And in today's story, I'm going to read to you Mark 3, verses 7 through 19. It's really two stories that paint one big picture, but the crowds are everywhere, and it's one of the most important and the busiest moments in the ministry of Jesus. Let me set the theme for you. Jesus has that quarterback energy. He's got that homecoming type of star on him right now. He's the guy. He's popular beyond popular, and there are people that are traveling all throughout Israel to come see him. People are being delivered. People are being healed. Demons are being cast out. The crowds are so large that in our story today, we're going to see that he asked his followers, go get me a boat just in case we have to escape. You ever heard of it like an escape car? They didn't have the escape car. They had that escape boat with all the paddles, and they just, we're about to get out of here. It's getting crazy. He said, we need a boat just in case it gets too wild. That's the scene, and then the crowds are gathering. But Jesus, he pulls away from the crowd. Why does he do that? Because he's not trying to build the crowd. He's trying to build disciples. That's the whole point. And so from the crowd, he calls a group of followers closer, and he appoints 12, known as the 12 disciples. How many? There's 12 of them. He appoints them not just to be with him, but then to carry his mission forward. So I want to speak to you from a message titled, From the Crowd to the Called. From the Crowd to the Called. Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 19. I'm going to read out of the NIV translation. This is what it says, starting in verse 7. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard about all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed so many that those whose diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell others about him. This is the story of the crowd. Keep going, the next verse in 13, it says, Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, how many? 12, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus. We got any Thaddeuses at church today? No? Okay. Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and our boy Judas the Iscariot, who betrayed him. This is the story of the called, from the crowd to the called. I know it's grad season. I mentioned that last week. Do we have any high school graduates at church this morning? Anybody, any high school grads? Anybody? You're still sleeping in? You'll be at the next service because I don't see any hands being raised whatsoever. That's cool. You graduated. You don't have to raise your hand. I get it. I graduated high school in 2002. This guy, bro. Get this guy. Security? This guy said, what? Wow, bro. I'm still young. 2002. Some of you are like, dang, I was born in 03. That's crazy. In 2002, I graduated high school. And they had this thing that they still do. How many remember grad night? Grad night. Anybody go to grad night? Yeah, grad night was cool. It was cool. And I lived up in Northern California, and we all got in the buses, and we went out and drove 8 hours to L.A. from where I grew up, roughly. And we arrived in the evening, and it was fun. It was games. It was rides. It was food. There was dancing. It was just a good time. Most of us had a good time. Some of us had a great time, from what I recall. But one thing specific I remember when standing in line at some of these rides, I don't know if it was Splash Mountain or Thunder Mountain or what ride it was, but I remember that I'm here standing with my little, you know, waffle cone, ice cream, whatever, and I see some of my classmates cutting in front of the line, getting to the front, and I said, wait a minute, what's happening? What's going on? And they just went on the ride. Here I am in the back, but they stepped in closer, and I realized that they had just released something just about a year or two earlier that was called the Fast Pass. You guys know what I'm talking about? It's called the Lightning Pass now. I think it's like $40. You got to buy it, but you can just get in front of everybody and go closer. At the time, it was free. And you could just go grab this Fast Pass and get this little ticket and go all the different rides. And they had a time where you're supposed to come back and you can get closer in line. Here's the deal. Don't miss this. Pay attention. All the seniors were there. We all went to the same place. We all saw the same castle. We all saw the same mouse. But everyone didn't have the same experience. Some were closer. Some had a different look and perspective. And in our story in Mark 3, everyone is around Jesus, but not everyone had the same experience. Some were closer. Some saw Jesus differently. In fact, there's three groups of people in our story. There's the crowd, and they're at a distance, and they can kind of see Jesus. But then there's this other group that were committed followers, and they're a little bit closer, and they actually walked with Jesus. But then even going a little bit closer and a little bit closer, there are those that he called, and they weren't just with Jesus. They didn't just walk with him. They actually carried the mission forward with Jesus. From the crowd to the called. And so here's the big idea. It's that Jesus is always inviting us one step closer. Jesus is always inviting us one step closer. Matter of fact, the very fact that you came to church today should be evidence that Jesus is always calling you, inviting you one step closer. One step closer. And so the question that we're asking today isn't whether you're near Jesus, because there were thousands near Jesus. The question we're asking is, how close are you willing to follow? How close are you willing to get in proximity to Jesus? Not everybody in Mark 3 took the same step. They were being invited, but not everybody leaned in. Some stayed in the crowd. Some said, well, I'll just be committed, but others were called that became disciples of Jesus and joined him on mission. And so as we walk through the rest of the message today in the passage, I want you to ask yourself, what circle am I currently living in? Am I in the crowd? Am I committed? Or am I going past that and I'm living like I'm called? No matter the answer, here's the end game. It's that Jesus is inviting us to take one step closer. If you're a note taker, here's number one. Here's the first invitation. Number one, Jesus invites us from curiosity to commitment. Jesus invites us from curiosity to commitment. This is for the crowd. This is for those that are just looking and perceiving and hearing. In verse 7 in our story, it says, Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard about all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, from Jerusalem, from Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. And so the crowds have come. They've gathered from everywhere. Why? Because they heard what Jesus could do for them. Anybody hear about this man named Jesus that has power? And have you been invited to church because you heard that God can do something about your situation? That's the story here. The crowd has heard. And so they want healing. They want deliverance. They hear that there's a miracle worker. Jesus can do signs. He can perform wonders. Some just wanted to see it for themselves, but some came because they needed breakthrough. They wanted answers to their questions and solutions to their problems, but here are some of the characteristics of the crowd. Find yourself in the story today. The crowd is curious, but they're not committed. The crowd is interested, but not personally invested. The crowd is a receiver, but not a reproducer. The crowd is spiritually consuming more than they're spiritually contributing. The crowd wanted Jesus' power, but not necessarily Jesus' purpose for their life. The crowd wants something from Jesus, but they don't want to be with Jesus. They're just receiving and they're taking. So how about you? Have you moved beyond receiving from Jesus? And here's the deal. It's okay to receive from Jesus. In fact, the church is, it kind of goes in three sections. In fact, our mission is know God, receive, grow in a community, then go make a difference. And here's a better picture. We're first a hospital, then we're a family, and then we're an army. So the crowd is sitting there soaking in hospitals type of atmosphere, but you can't stay in the hospital. You gotta be healed up. And so how about you? Have you stayed in this hospital mentality of just receiving, just taking? I just want breakthrough, more breakthrough, more breakthrough, more breakthrough, more breakthrough. I'm just in the crowd, I'm a watcher. I wanna get from him, but I'm not contributing for him. I remember in 2020, during the pandemic, a few of us, myself, Pastor Miles, we preached on this stage to an empty room. Do you remember this time? In 2020, 6 years ago? Some of you do, some of you grew up in this time. But we had the online church, and I remember it, and at first it felt like a gift, I'm not gonna lie. I was, you know, worship was on, the message was there, I was flipping pancakes, praise Jesus. It was like, oh, this is great, awesome. Bacon and Jesus, come on somebody. Pajamas, praise, and pancakes, it was great. But eventually, if I'm just honest with you about my situation, it became so convenient that it became casual. And we weren't worshiping and we weren't singing. We started watching and we started listening. And that's a bit of a tension for me. We were no longer worshiping. We were just watching. But Jesus never said, come and watch me. He said, come and follow me. Come and lean in. Don't just be curious and on the outskirts of the crowd. In fact, Luke 9:23 says, then he said to all of them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and do what? And follow me. Don't watch me from the crowd, but follow me from the inside. This is my burden for a lot of people because you've sacrificed your commitment for convenience. Only really coming to Jesus when you need him. Only coming when you're curious about, I heard there's an event. I heard something happen. I heard there was a fallout. I heard someone made a mistake. I heard there was drama happening in the church. And now here you are in the crowd leaning in. That's the crowd mentality. The crowd only comes when it's convenient. The crowd admires Jesus, but the committed people follow Jesus. Don't settle for curious. And Jesus is inviting us to take one step closer from the curious to the committed. Here's the second thing that he invites us to. Number two, Jesus invites us from commitment to intimacy. So I moved from the curious crowd to now I'm committed. But if he's inviting all of us to take one step closer, if I'm already committed, then I can go from committed to intimacy. The committed followers knew all about this. In Mark chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Jesus went up on the mountainside and called to him those he wanted. And what did they do? They came to him. They responded to his invitation. He goes on this mountain. He goes away from the crowds and he gathers a group of committed followers. Notice that I didn't call them the 12 disciples yet. I think this is interesting in my study time. It's like, this aha moment for me. And I want you to get this. We can keep reading and we know that he calls them to become the 12 disciples. But they didn't know that they would become the 12 disciples. They were just followers of Jesus. Are you tracking with me? They're in the crowd, but they're leaning in. They want more than curiosity. They want Jesus. And so now I'm committed. And he calls this group. They don't know. They will be known as the Bethlehem Backstreet Boys. And for 2,000 years, we're all going to talk about them. They had no clue. Jesus calls them. And I'm just committed. I just want more. I want more intimacy. I want more closeness. Matthew, come here. Bartholomew, you can come too. He gathers them together. And Jesus doesn't invite them to do something. Don't miss this. He invites them to be something, to be with him, to be with him before ministry, before action, before assignment, before platform. Before any of that, before miracles, but before influence, he called them to an intimate, close, personal relationship with him. Why? Because Jesus wants proximity more than he wants productivity. He wants proximity and closeness more than he wants to produce something in you. More than what he's doing through you, he wants to do something in you, transform you. That's what a disciple, a follower is committed to. First, learning from Jesus, then walking with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, remaining close to Jesus. Then you can do things for King Jesus. This coming Wednesday is Vanessa and I's 14th year wedding anniversary, this coming Wednesday, in just a couple days. Thank you very much. It'll be 18 years together. Best 18 years of her life. It's been incredible. It's been awesome. This Wednesday. Now, but imagine on Wednesday, I wake up and right away, knowing it's our anniversary, I start washing the dishes. Praise God. She would love that. I start doing the laundry. I start cleaning the kids' rooms while the laundry's going, and I hear the buzzer, and I go back, and now the laundry's done. I start folding the clothes. I'm putting them away in the kids' rooms. And then, you know what? That's not enough. I'm going to vacuum, and then I'm going to mop. And by the way, let me go ahead, and all the wives are like, amen, I like this. This is a great anniversary. I'm mowing the lawn. I'm washing the cars. And by the end of the day, it's incredible. I've knocked out all of the chores. But if the end of the day, I did all of that, but then I just left, what do you think she would think? All the wives are like, amen, that doesn't sound that bad. See you when you come back. I think Vanessa would say, thank you so much for all the things you did. What a blessing. But you didn't come back. And more than all of these things, on our anniversary, what I really wanted to do was what? Be with you. I want to be with you. Why? Because relationships aren't formed through activity. They're formed through intimacy. Relationships aren't built on activity. They're built on intimacy. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me, if you're with me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, without me, if I'm not there and you're not with me, you can do nothing. You can't do it. You can do great things for the kingdom, but it'll always be the result of first spending time with Jesus. Doing comes from the overflow of being. That's why you're not a human doing, you're a human being. Because the doing comes from the overflow of first being with Jesus. And so here's the million-dollar question. How has your being with Jesus time been going? Have you been with him? Have you spoken to him in prayer? Have you given him praise outside of just Sunday when you get a group up here giving you the instructions and the best songs and the best lighting and the best music at your campus? Are you with him? Are you praying? Are you worshiping? Are you in his word to hear from the Lord? And so many of us are walking around going, Lord, I just need to hear from you. God, I just want to hear from you. God, give me a word. And he's going, I already gave you a word. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Are you with him? Are you with him? I call that the big three: prayer, worship, the word. Jesus is inviting us. He's inviting you to take one step closer from out of the crowd and the curiosity of that distant group into commitment. But if I want to go even further, I'm taking a step from commitment to intimacy with the creator of the universe. And here's number three. Jesus invites us from intimacy now into mission. I go from the curious crowd to commitment. I'm taking a step. That's somebody today. But then I go from commitment to now I'm stepping into intimacy. I want to be with Jesus. Before I do anything for him, I just want to be with him. I want to pray. I want to worship. I want to do all these. I just want to be with you, Lord. I want to hear from you. I want to read your word. And then from there, from intimacy, I can then be moved into mission. These are the people that are living a called life. I'm not the crowd. I'm more than committed. I'm living like I've been called. In Mark 3, verse 14, it says, he appointed 12 that they might be with him. And, somebody say and. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, thank you very much, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. They respond to his invitation from the crowd. Jesus appoints them as the 12, I'm committed. Then he sets them on mission because they've been called. Here's what someone who's living on mission sounds like. I give generously. I serve sacrificially. I help other people when they're in need. I live a life that models Christ. In fact, all my neighbors know that my life belongs to Jesus because I look different. I'm not in the crowd. I'm more than committed. I'm living like I've been called. I live like Christ. I serve sacrificially. I share the gospel. I make other followers of Jesus called disciples. In fact, put this up there. Discipleship isn't complete until it lives on mission. Discipleship, that whole picture, isn't complete until I'm living now on mission. Jesus didn't call the 12 closer just so they could stay close. I wrote this down. He called them closer so he could send them out. Jesus didn't bring you here today just so that you can be filled. If you're in the hospital, then be healed. But we want to move you from there to now. I'm intimate, I'm close, I'm in his family. And eventually you're set out like an army on mission. He didn't just call the 12, he didn't just call you so that you could stay close. He calls them and he calls you so that you could be sent out. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. This is my last verse. It says, come out of the crowd. Follow me, be with me, Jesus said. And I will send you, there's mission, out to fish for people. So be with him, that's his presence, praise God. Be like him, that's my preparation. But go for him, that's the mission. I wanna go for him. I don't know about you, I remember the very first time I had a friend of mine say, Travis, I think you're called to be a pastor. I think you're called to preach the gospel. I think you're called to lead God's people. And I had no clue what any of that meant, but I had some gifts and talents that people were affirming in me, and I was serving in the local church. In fact, to that point, I knew that I liked talking. I knew that I could kind of woo some things, and I thought, well, maybe Mario Lopez will retire and I can just take his job. It turns out this dude drinks a ton of alkaline water and he's got a great skincare routine, and this dude is not aged since 2002. So I got a new gig. And since then, I've been living like I'm called. I came out of the crowd, got committed, and living like I've been called. So how about you? Here's the deal. All of us, everybody has been called. Every single person has been called. The problem is, not all of us are living like we've been called. But you've been called. And you've been called. You've been called. You've been called. You've been called. San Marcos has been called. Chula Vista has been called. El Cajon has been called. Oahu, you have all been called. Everybody online right now, my friend Michael, who your mom just came up to me before this service, and I know you're watching. Michael, you've been called. Are we gonna live like we're called? Jesus is saying, today, can you take one step closer? And so where are you at today? Where are you at in this whole picture of, I'm in the crowd, I'm committed, I'm living on mission. Where are you at? And Jesus is saying, can you take one step closer? I'm gonna bring it all together with this final story. So June 10th, 2012, we celebrate, Vanessa and I, 14 years this Wednesday. But I remember the day that we got married. We got married just a few feet from here, just down the ways from this building at a little church called the White Chapel, Little White Chapel. In fact, if you leave here today in this room and you head past Vaughn's, on the right, you'll see the Little White Chapel. We got married there on a Sunday, June 10th, 2012, because it was cheaper. Come on, somebody. had a great wedding, beautiful wedding, very traditional wedding. And she had 10 bridesmaids and I had 10 groomsmen. It was a big wedding, it was lots of fun, but I'll never forget the day and the processional is coming forward. That's when all the people come forward and come down the aisle and people, you know, they're sitting now, getting your seats, and the music starts to play, kind of like it is right now. And then it starts with first the the sponsors. By the way, get yourself a sponsor if you don't know what that is and you're getting married. Those are the people that you let help you with paying for the wedding, and you give them a front seat at the ceremony. Okay, like extra uncles and aunts. Everyone was an uncle. Everyone was an auntie, like everybody. And so the aunties and the uncles come first. The sponsors come first, and then grandma and grandpa come, and then mom and dad come, her mom and dad come, and then the bridal party comes, and groomsmen and bridesmaid, and groomsmen and bridesmaid. Finally, he got the best man and the maid of honor, and then after that was the ring bearer. After the ring bearer is what? The flower girl. And so I'm up there, and then after all of that, they close the doors, and then the pastor invites everybody to stand to your feet for the bride, and then the music starts. Maybe you guys can do a little music or something. Ugh. Okay. And I'm up there. Her brother peeks out and starts heckling me. She's not coming. I stood up there for 2 minutes. Felt like 35 minutes. The doors were, and I don't know what happened with the doors. I don't know what happened with the dress or what was happening in the back, but for whatever reason, it took forever, and I was sweating like crazy. Eventually, to the glory of God, the doors opened, and Vanessa came down the aisle. It was like Jesus himself, like, just coming finally. I had a heart attack. I've seen this movie before. Oh my gosh. You can go back. I'm gonna bring it back here. I was just praying, Lord, please open those doors. May my wife, future wife, just take a step down this aisle. I wanna see her so bad. We've been waiting for this moment for so long. Jesus is the groom. He calls his church the bride. And he is standing at the gate with his doors always open. And he will stay there as long as he needs to, waiting for you to take a step towards him. That's the invitation. Jesus is always inviting us to take one step closer. So my challenge to you today, no matter where you are, don't stay there. Don't stay there. He loves you right where you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay there. He's inviting you to come close. Don't be curious in the crowd. Come out of the crowd and lean into commitment. And if you've already committed, but it's just off and on, I show up, but I'm not. No. Intimacy and closeness. The big three, prayer, worship, the word. I know him. I love him. He's with me. I'm with him. And if you're with him, start living like you've been called. I'm on mission for Jesus. I'm using my gifts. I'm using my talents. I'm going from the crowd all the way to being someone who's living like I'm called. Jesus is inviting you right now at all of our locations to take one step closer to him. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this moment. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your scriptures. Thank you that you invite us to be close to you today. I know there's somebody, Lord, under the sound of my voice that needs to know you for the very first time. There's somebody that needs to take a step closer of recommitting their life to you. And so if that's you, I want you to pray this prayer with me in the quiet of your heart and just say, Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I acknowledge that I fall short of your glory, but I believe that you have died for my sin and you have the power to forgive me. I confess you as now Lord of my life. I confess you as the master of the universe. So Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, come into my life. Give me a new mind and a new heart. Give me new vision. Set me on a new path. Give me a brand new purpose. I want all that you have to offer me, and all that I have belongs to you. I confess my life. As your heads are bowed, as your eyes are closed, if you prayed a prayer like that today to give your life to Jesus for the very first time or to recommit your life, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand so that we can see you, and I'd love to pray for you. At all of our locations, on the count of three, you prayed that prayer. One, two, three. 3. Lift your hand nice and high. You prayed that prayer. Awesome. God bless you. 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 I see you. God bless you. God bless you. Awesome. God bless you in the top. I see you. God bless you. Awesome. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. I see you. Thank you. God bless you. I see you. God bless you. Lord Jesus, thank you for every single hand, every single person that said yes to you today. Across all of our locations, wherever the name of Jesus is being lifted up and worshiped and glorified, we praise you and we say thank you that you love us so much. And we celebrate and welcome all of those new members of the family that are going from the crowd to now committed. And all that they're saying, I'm going beyond committed to intimacy. I want to live a life that's called on assignment, on mission for Jesus. And so we commit this to you and we bless you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Can we welcome all of those new family members into the family of God? Hallelujah. Here's how we're going to close our time together. Would you grab your communion with you? If you have this on the way in, bring that out. If you don't have a communion cup, just lift your hand up and one of our team members is going to come walking around. We'll make sure to get one of these for you. This is for those that have said, my life belongs to Jesus. And that's why we just gave you an opportunity to do that. But don't feel pressured to do this, but also, this is for those that have said, I am making a declaration that there is power in the bread, which represents the body of Christ, and the juice, which represents the blood of Christ. And I'm claiming the power of his death, burial, and resurrection over my life. I'm committed. I'm called. So grab that communion cup if you have it very carefully. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, the Apostle Paul, who is a church planner, preacher, apostle, he is gathered with a bunch of people just like this, and he says, hey, what was given to me, I now give to you. On the very last night, Jesus was with his disciples. He took bread and he took juice, and he said, take this as often as you can. And when you do, remember me. Remember me. Don't forget what I've done for you. Celebrate me, honor me. Remember the power that's in my life. Remember the power that's in the blood. So very carefully, would you just take off the top and reveal the little wafer of bread? Jesus took the bread, he held it up, he broke it, and he blessed it. Would you very carefully take your wafer and just snap it right in your fingers? As to say, we acknowledge that Jesus' body was beaten for our sins. He paid the price for our inequities. Jesus, thank you for your body that was nailed to the cross. Let's take the bread now. Very carefully, would you take the top off the cup with the juice? Right after he had taken the bread, Jesus takes a cup with the fruit of the vine, the juice, and he passes it to his disciples, and he explained to them that, hey, listen, there's a new way of relationship with the Father. It's by my blood. There's always had to be payment for your sin. There was animal sacrifice. There was atonement once a year. The high priest would come, and Jesus says, wait a minute, I will be the perfect prophet, priest, and king. I am the lion, and I have now become the sacrificial lamb. And my blood will be poured out on this cross. And every time you take this juice, remember my blood that has paid for your debt, paid for your sin. I did it for the crowd. I did it for the committed. I did it for the called. But when we take this, we say, yes, Jesus, we honor you. We make your name famous. We glorify the King for what he's done for us. So let's take the juice right now and remember the King. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for his love for us, his life that he laid down for our sin. Thank you that you're drawing us closer each and every day. Go with us this week as we go about our ways. Bring us back safely again with new friends and new family, filling up these seats and filling up the aisles of our church, all to give you glory and praise. We love you and we thank you that you love us. And together as a family, everybody shouted a good amen, amen. And amen. Let's give Jesus some praise. Come on, church. God bless you. God bless.